All right. We've been on this series. The series is Marvel Faith. And the series is about standing on the Word of God with such conviction that our life begins to take on a new character. And so today, we want to talk about the enemies of faith. And so as I was preparing for how to discuss the enemies of our faith. Any of you ever met any enemies to your faith? Anything that's sort of come in opposition to your faith? As I was considering that today, I really believe that the Lord has given me a fairly unique approach. Because if you know anything about me, I really don't like to give Satan much opportunity. I don't like to give him much airtime. And so I thought, man, if I'm going through these enemies of the faith, if I start talking about something, I don't want people to become afraid. I don't want you to walk out of here and be afraid of what I'm saying or begin to be consumed by those actual enemies of the faith. I want you to be consumed by the nature in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit said, well, why don't you just do that? I said, that's brilliant. I will. So we're going to get to the enemies of the faith, but there are some things that I think you need to know. Some of you know them. I'm going to remind you. Some of you, maybe these are going to be new truths. And I will tell you that these are the things that faith is built on. And you need to hear them. And so I've got verses today that I want to share with you. I've asked them to put them on the screen. I'd love for you, if you got your Bibles, turn with me, your phone, whatever it may be. But we're just going to jump right in. And it is this. In Romans 6:11, it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. There was a long time in my life that I believed that sin was very much alive in me. Is there anybody here today or at some point in your life where it felt like sin was very much alive? And it was just eating at you, and it was wearing on you, and it seemed like you might could get a little bit of freedom, but then here it would come. And pastors will talk about sin and the greatness of sin and all of those things. I'll tell you that when I began to find freedom in my life was when I found the verses in Romans 6:11. And I was reading it, and it said, even so, consider yourself. I said, That means you have to picture yourself dead to sin. You've got to accept or adopt this idea that you're dead to sin. Now, I got to tell you, the sections of the Bible of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, I've always said that if I couldn't have my entire Bible, if you could give me Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, I could worship God from now to eternity's end. They are some of the most beautiful portions of Scripture. It summarizes to me all of the Bible. If you've ever thought the Bible is very intimidating, it has a lot of pages. I would say, yes, I know it has a lot of pages. But if you want a summary, Paul was nice enough to summarize it for us in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And when I ran across that, it said that we are dead to sin. I didn't just make that up. It's in the Bible. Do you see it? We're to consider ourselves dead to sin. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, He died for our sin, and so He took the punishment. He took all of those things so that then we could have life in Him. And so guess what? Many of you have been lied to. Sin is not alive in you. Sin was finished on the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, it really was. And so death, where is your sting? Sin, what can you do? You see, because when you're dead to sin, even when you sin, it draws you closer to God. Oh, that might take some work. Because some of you have been in that place where when you sin, it actually draws you away from God because you get afraid. And you're like, oh, I did it again. God's going to be so mad at me. And so you withdraw from God. It's like the lady, it was Valentine's Day, imagine that. And she's in a vehicle with her car, with her husband, and it was one of those old bench seats. You know the ones, it doesn't have anything, the console's not in the middle, it's just all the way across. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, some of you do. Okay, all right. If you don't know, there were vehicles like that at one time, okay? Just a little bench across. And she looked at her husband on one side and she said, honey, you remember the day when we used to just ride together and we were just right there, just hand in hand, right beside each other as we rode? She said, what happened to those days? He looked over at her and he said, honey, I haven't moved. He was the driver. And I think about that often, of how we talk about how we can't find God and how He's distant. Do you know what? God hadn't moved. There are times it will move, but He hasn't moved. And so we are to consider ourselves dead to sin. And so here's the thing. You're like, I don't understand that. Well, let me explain it to you in this way. I used to have an Isuzu Rodeo. It was a 1994. Some of you remember it. You just huffed. Yes. I drove it forever. I loved it. It was a straight drive. And I'd driven it for so long, probably 15 years or more, something like that. And I finally bought a new vehicle. And at that time, I was reading Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And so I was reading these verses, consider yourself dead to sin. And so one day I got into the truck that I had just bought, and it was raining. And so I went to turn on the windshield wipers. And so I went to hit the button at the top right of the dashboard. There were no windshield wipers there, because that was my old vehicle. That's where the windshield wipers used to be. Now they were in a new place. And I had to get used to that. And then I'd go to turn the lights on, and I would reach up, and that was the top left of the dashboard. And so I'd go to hit the lights, but the lights wouldn't come on, because in the new vehicle, the lights weren't there. They were down here a little bit lower on the left-hand side. And then there'd be days that I'd get in, and I'd go to put it in reverse, and I'd go to grab the stick shift and put it in reverse. That is not dating me. And there would be no stick shift, because this one was on the column, and so you put it in, it was automatic. And then it dawned on me what it meant by being dead to sin. See, that we think we're alive to sin, but what we have is we've got some sin habits that carried over after God transformed us. You see, when you step from death into life, you got new papers. The old blue rodeo that you used to drive, you gave it away. The brand new vehicle that you have is the one that you're currently in. But even though you have a new vehicle, a new identity, you still have some sin habits, some things that are carried over, maybe some things that your mom and daddy used to do, and so you do them because your mom and your daddy did them, or you've just been used to handling situations that way. And at some point, we have to, if we're going to have victory over sin, we've got to have a mindset that when Jesus died, we died to sin, and so we consider ourselves dead to it. Say, I'm dead to sin, but I am alive to God in Christ. That is your identity. Then Romans 5:5, it says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There are so many people who are trying to find a way to get God to love them. There are so many people who question, almost on a daily basis, whether or not God can truly love them. Maybe they've done too much, they think. Maybe they've seen too much. Maybe they've gone too far, and the grace of God can't reach them. And so they question. They believe that God can love some people. Maybe you just think He can't love you. Maybe you think that your sin is too great. But I want to tell you that Romans 5:5 says that because the love of God, you see that? Has been poured out. You don't have to do anything to get God to love you. Do you know that? You do not have to do anything to get God to love you. Do you know why? Because His love has already been poured out on you. When He died on the cross, He was pouring out His love on you. So the amazing thing is that if you're here today, there's really nothing that you have to do. There is no task that you have to perform to get God to love you. See, this is why I like preaching, because I get to tell people the best news. I get to tell them the best news in the world. God already loves you. That when you were at your lowest point, Christ died for you. When you were in sin, Christ died for you. He died before you were ever born, because He loved you. And so we operate not from this question of, I wonder if God loves me. And then when if I have one of those old sin habits again, what do I do? What do I do? I run to Him. Do you know what that does? That makes you and Him almost inseparable. Because think about it. When things are going good, I praise Him. When I run into a situation, where do I run? To Him. Satan starts looking at that and goes, I can't do anything. Everything I do causes them to get closer to it. That's the point of salvation is that everything is supposed to get you closer and closer to Him. What does it say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us? These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of His might, which brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. What does all that mean, Kevin? Here's what it means. There is an incredible power. A power from God, not bent on your destruction or your punishment, but that the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Do you know how much power? I imagine all of the forces of hell were trying to make sure that Jesus stayed in that tomb. In fact, it said that they paid large sums of money to try to make sure people didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. There was an entire campaign to try to keep Jesus in the tomb. But the mighty power of God raised Him from the dead. I get to tell you some more good news. If you know Jesus Christ, He lives in you. And that power is toward you, not against you. There's so many people believe that God's just sitting up there. I know, because I was one. I thought He had a big old stick, and He was just sitting there, and He was waiting for me to do something wrong. And then He'd go, pop! Yeah, and that was my view of God. He had power, all right, but it was power to abuse me. Yeah, it was like an abusive parent type of relationship. And then I realized, wait, His power is toward me. So when I face a situation in life, I face it with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, living in me and flowing toward me. I was hoping I'd get at least one. I realize I'm going to give you some stuff today, and I think we're going to put them on our Facebook page throughout the week, because I bet you some of you don't believe this. And you're going to have to get it into you. You're going to have to hear it, and you're going to have to see it a little bit before it gets in you. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are probably some of my most favorite verses in all of Scripture. I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, you know, of all the things in life, of houses and cars and vacations, clothes, whatever material things you could think of, those things no longer compare to the gifts that I find in Galatians 5:23, the gifts of the Spirit of love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And here's the thing. If you have received Jesus Christ, you have received His Spirit, and those things are in you. And so you don't have to pray, oh God, give me patience. I really don't pray for it anymore. I've told you this before. Some people say, oh, don't pray for patience. Yeah. Well, you're going to run into situations that are going to require patience regardless or not. So I don't care if you pray for it or not. You're going to have a situation that's going to test it. And God's ultimate aim is to perfect that fruit that He's produced in your life. He wants it to come out. And so you're going to run into things regardless. But I don't ask Him for patience anymore. You know what I do? I thank Him for it because it's in me. And so when I run into a situation, I say, thank You, Father, that the fruit of Your Holy Spirit living in me is patience. And so even though right now I don't feel it, it's there. And so I want to call it up inside of my life. I run into somebody and you need a little additional love. You ever met those people? They just need a little more grace than everybody else. Yeah. It's funny how we've all met that person, but none of us are that person. You ever thought about that? We've all met the person that requires more grace than others, but none of us are that person. I wonder who that person could be. I don't know. Maybe on occasions we could all be that person. Yeah? But there is love, and it is already in me. And there is joy. And I can tell you this, that even though all hell may be breaking out around me, I can have those things. And it has become the most precious gift that I want to guard beyond anything else. You can have my house. I'll give it to you today. But you cannot have my joy. You can have my vehicle and I'll walk to work. But you cannot have the peace of joy. that's in my life because of the Holy Spirit. I will guard those things ferociously now. Now, are there times where Satan talks me out of them? There sure is. But I get that little thing inside of me that goes, oh, no, he didn't try to take that away from me again. And I center back up on the love and the joy in those verses. And I'll tell you, they're the most precious things in the world to me now. And if I'm going to guard anything, I'm going to guard those. Because those are the gifts of God in my life. 1 Peter 2:24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you are healed. We don't even have time to get into this morning. But most of us have been sold an inferior version of salvation. Let me say that to you again. You have been sold an inferior version of salvation. Many people have been sold a version of salvation that says it's a ticket to heaven. And so you come down to an altar and you say a certain prayer that somebody reads you and you get a ticket and that's all you need to get you through the rest of your life. Oh, that's pitiful. That's just pitiful. That's not even at all what this thing is about. Salvation is this amazing thing. And in here it says that by His wounds, we are healed. And it literally means to cure someone. Man, I don't have time to go into this, but I got to summarize it real quick. I was real aggravated about that verse because I would hear people say, by His stripes, we are healed. Anybody ever heard that? It comes from Isaiah. It comes from 1 Peter. By His wounds, we are healed. And I hadn't studied enough to know if it meant that we were healed from physical sickness or if we were healed from spiritual sickness. So I had to find out and I had to go look. And when it says that you're healed, it comes from the word that means to cure and to heal and to make whole. And then I ran into this word in the Bible. It's called sozo. It's a Greek word. And it will say sometimes in Scripture that their faith had made them whole. It had saved them. It's the word sozo. And sozo means this. It means that you are saved of suffering, of disease, made well, healed, restored. You're preserved. And so I'll go back to what I said a minute ago. Some of us have been sold an inferior version of salvation that says it just takes you from darkness into light. And I want to tell you that it does more than that. That the salvation, the sozo salvation of God means that it's to make you whole. Whole in what? Whole in whatever. If your mind is not made whole, salvation makes your mind whole. It makes your body whole. It makes you a person who was doomed toward hell, now a child of the Lord God Almighty. It is wholeness in every form. And so if there's any part of your body that feels like it is not made whole, let me tell you that the salvation work of Jesus is finished and it is making all things new in you. And so if you're sick, we still believe God heals. If you are tormented in your mind, we believe God still sets the tormented mind free. If you have broken relationships, we believe that God still restores those relationships. Why? Because He's a sozo God. He's a God that when He said, I came to save you, He didn't mean I just came to pull you out of this mess. Do you realize that many people, they want to go to heaven because they want to escape something here on earth? I'm like, oh, that's pitiful. You know what I want to do? I want to conquer everything that has Satan's mark on it right here before I ever get there. You know, anything that looks like Satan here, I'm thinking, you know what? That's a target. We ought to go after that. You know? I'm tired of this mess that says, you know what, we're just going to wait and let God sort it all out in the end. Well, you know what, He is going to sort it all out in the end. But the Moravians, a group of Christians, used to have this saying, we will win for the Lord the joy of His suffering. It means that Christ will not suffer in vain. That the things that He died for, we will see not only in heaven, but we will see here on earth. Last one. Oh gosh, it's getting late. Okay, what to do? I need a plan. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that I got like 5 minutes left. I told somebody the other day I'd been to a funeral and they said, Pastor, I got 5 more minutes. I told my wife, I said, you know what it means when a pastor says he's got 5 more minutes? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If a pastor tells you he's got 5 minutes left, don't believe him. That means nothing. Okay? I don't know how long I got, but I'm going to hurry. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power, look at this, has granted. Do you see that? Has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Do you need something today? Is there something that you said, I need something in my life today? I got good news for you. It's already stored up for you. It's already in your account. See, there's a difference between having something in your account and having something in your hand. And that's what faith does. It takes the things that's in your account and it moves them into your hand where you can do something with them. If you're looking today and you're like, I'm just not the kind of person that I need to be. Guess what? God has granted to you everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have a need in your life. Guess what? God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. If you don't believe it, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Has blessed. Do you see that all of this is past tense? Now, I'm no great English person. Somebody asked me today if I knew Latin. I said, no, I don't even hardly know English. But I know that that is has blessed. So that means it was done past tense. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why is all that important? Because for so long Christians have been fighting for victory and we're supposed to be fighting from victory. Let me say that one more time. We've been fighting for something. We've been trying to get God to forgive us. The problem with that is He's already forgiven us. All we have to do is receive the salvation of the Lord. We have been trying to get God to love us. But the real situation is that He's already poured out His love on you. He can't love you any more than He loves you today. The problem is we've been trying to find some healing and wholeness. And God's already done it. It's already there. And so whenever we're trying to fight for something, we cannot operate in faith because it's already done. Is that making sense to anybody? And so it's as though you've got this spigot. And God has turned the spigot on. Some of you remember, right? Summer, hot. You go over. You got a hose. Lord knows where that hose has been. But you'll still put your mouth on it when you're thirsty, aren't you? Yeah? And so you turn that hose on. And there you go. That's the spiritual situation you were under. Jesus Christ has already turned the spigot on. The problem is not on this end where we're trying to get God, oh God, turn the love spigot on, turn the forgiveness spigot on, turn the whatever spigot on. No, the spigot's already on, folks. The problem is somewhere down here, what has happened? There's a crimp in the hose. You know what happens when you get a crimp in the hose, right? It doesn't matter how much is up here. That's just fine. You don't go back there. If you do, you go and you're like, well, I'll be. That thing's already on. Okay, now where do I look? I go find a crimp. Where is the crimp? Most of the time, the crimp is we do not understand the Word of God. So you didn't know that He already loved you. Now you do. You didn't know that His power was towards you. That's why I told you. You didn't know that you were dead to sin. That's why I thought I'd bring it up. Why? To unloose, to get out the crimp in the hose. So now what about those enemies? If Satan cannot stop the flow from the spigot, which I think most of us would agree that he can't, right? Can you imagine Satan trying to steal something from God? Yeah? God, I'm just going to come up here and we're going to do battle. He tried that once. It didn't work out. Satan cannot affect what goes on with God. Now you know why they're enemies of the faith, because he knows that the only chance he has is to crimp the hose. And the way he crimps the hose is through things like doubt. That's one enemy of the faith. And doubt says, I know he can, but I don't know if he... Stop saying that. Please. I'm going to say it one more time just so you know not to say it again. I know he can, but I don't know if he will. If you ever hear somebody say that, it's not that he will, it's that he already has. Tell them that. It's not that he will, it's that he already has. Doubt looks at situations. Fear, another enemy. We begin to look at the wind and the waves like Peter. We begin to look at our checkbook. We begin to look at a report, and fear begins to cause us to doubt. I know that God said, come, but there's waves. I know that God said he'll provide. Do you see what he's doing? He's trying to pull you off of the word. And then doubt turns into something that's really even worse. It's called unbelief. And that's at a place where you say, you know what, I just don't believe that God does that. I just don't believe that God heals anybody. And you've probably not seen a whole lot of people healed with that mindset, have you? You know? We begin to get this mindset that God doesn't, and it hardens our hearts to things. And then the one that Chris said, which is we can take up an offense against God. When we believe that God didn't do something, we can take up an offense against God. And it's one of the worst, because who wants to admit that they're mad at God? Who wants to admit that they're mad at God? That they believe that God didn't do something that he was supposed to do. And so they get mad. But they can't even admit that they're mad. And so they're stuck. And that's why it's important for us to tell the story like Chris. That we say, we believe God heals. Savannah died. And we'll still sing. Isn't that amazing that on the very same day, we still sing a song that says, God is our healer. Do you realize that you won't be able to sing that song the same way you're singing it now when you get to heaven? It's only on this side do we have that tension between what we believe God's word says, what we've seen, and we say, you know what? Chris stands up and she says, you know what? I still believe that God is a healer. And I'll still worship him that way. There are times that we don't understand God and we cannot take an offense. I love what one of you guys said. You said, I don't always understand what he says, but I have committed myself to believe what he says, even when I don't understand it. So we end with this. How do you attack the enemies of faith? We stand on the word of God. Those verses that I told you, they are finding a place in my heart because of these note cards. Years ago, I put those scriptures on these note cards, and I would just read them to myself every day. That God's love is toward us, that I am dead to sin, that his love is poured out on me. I won't let you borrow my cards, but I'll let you make some of your own. Because I can't afford to see myself differently than God sees me. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And this tells me what the will of God is for my life. It reminds me of what God says. I recommend you find some verses, probably the ones that I started with. We should start there. And we stand on the word of God. And we stand on the nature of God. And when those doubts come, we continue to stand on what God has said. Now let's do this. It's time for y'all. Some of you may have to go, so stand up. We have an informal way that we end services. I just believe today, Chris, if you'll come on now, that some of you may need to receive salvation today. You didn't realize that God had done everything, and all you have to do is believe. And today would be a great day for you to come. Some of you, you need to know that the power of God is for you. Some of you may be suffering from grief, and you need to talk to Chris today. Whatever it is, so that you can just have the altar. All right? The altar is going to be available. You guys are free to go, and then we're just going to minister to people. The problem is not at the top of the spigot. The problem is whatever is crimping the hose. Don't leave here today with a crimp in the hose.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.